This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. Just after 7 o'clock Thursday morning, this is your chance to get updated on all the stories in the news. It's called The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. We pride ourselves on being able to find you some of the best voices with the opinions that matter so that you don't have to think through all of this stuff yourself. Maybe you're one of those people like I am a lot of the time who's too lazy to actually read the primary sources, so you want to hear it reported to you, and you wouldn't mind a dollop of opinion with that either. Right, Pums?
I'll read everything.
Yeah, I know you do. You don't, because you know there's fake news, right?
Dude,
you've got fake news.
You must be woke out here. You must see it coming, huh?
All right, so let's talk to a couple of people this morning. First of all, I think it's there are so many commissions of inquiry going on at the moment.
It's like a three-ring circus.
Well, that's what you said earlier, and I agree with you completely, but my God, it's embarrassing. If you see how many people are on the take, how many people who go out there in public and try to present themselves as being men and women of the people, who are elected officials, who are supposedly the people we entrust to make the laws and to run the country, the bureaucracies, the departments. Turns out, for a couple of groceries, a box of meat, and 20 grand a month, you can get any minister you like.
It was quite fascinating to watch yesterday as our appointed leader of the three-ring circus was spinning the place in Davos about how all of these commissions of inquiry.
Oh, he says, don't worry, this is proof that we're cleaning up.
It's proof of nothing.
Yeah.
It's proof of nothing except for the fact that he won't make a decision. He's hoping that decision will be made by popular opinion and that people will just fade away by themselves.
And also, we seem to think that the rest of the world is stupid about this. I mean, we're looking for investment. We're looking for international investment. That's why we've sent the biggest delegation of any country to Davos. The Americans and the UK aren't even there. They didn't even bother to send anyone. South Africa sends 50 people.
And you see, for me, Davos is just one of those things where all the super rich are just actually getting together to have secret meetings on how they can fuck us further. All the poorer. When I saw the news come out of how much over the past 10 years, so as the world is getting poorer, these...
Yeah, but you're talking about that stupid Oxfam report.
No, I'm not talking about Oxfam.
Oh, really?
I'm not talking about Oxfam. Oh, the Oxfam report... Don't get me started about the Oxfam report, you know.
Such nonsense.
It's such all poverty do, porn. Poverty,
poverty
porn.
Thank you very much. Quite right.
So the Oxfam thing, you know, I don't know. Statistics, you know what they say about that. But it's like the world's super rich getting together. You know what the biggest problem they had at Davos is where everybody's going to park their private jets.
See?
Because they've gotten bigger.
Now, do we need to be part of that circus?
I don't know if we need to be part of that circus.
And do we need to send a delegation where one in five or six people you meet in Davos is from the South African delegation? Isn't that outrageous? That's the number I heard on a news report just this week. And you see the TV channels and the news stations all going crazy about how great this is, that South Africa's got representation at Davos. I mean, do we really need to send Stella and Dabeni Abrams there? Do we really need to send people from business in South Africa who really should be focused on their business
and
in an economy
me,
like
was
this?
Just
go to Davos and hobnob.
But also looking at that delegation, one of the things that I found particularly disappointing about it is the lack of diversity. So there's not enough diverse thinking.
Oh, right.
In the group of people that have gone there.
Same old, same old. But it's you know, it's Cyril's crew.
It's
this
like,
is his crew. He's rolling with this crew. That's
I think
is.
Davos is a little bit like the Lurys of the rich people's world. And they all freezing their asses off in Davos. It's like minus 20 degrees or something ridiculous like that. Like it's...
Well, because you know reptilian blood. Anyway, there's so much to talk about this morning. Let's start off with something that I'd like your opinion on, Pumi. And by the way, we're going to check in with Karen Morn. She's going to tell us what's going on with Duduzane Zuma in a little while. And we're going to talk to Barry Bateman from EWN. Barry is busy at the Mohoro Commission. And remember, there's so many commissions.
That's the one about the NPA.
That's right. There's the NPA one, there's the PIC one, and there's the state capture one.
But there is also ongoing the SARS one.
Oh, the SARS one. Sure. Just in case you haven't got enough on your plate, there's a whole bunch for you to pay attention to. All right. So here is something to start you off this morning and to get you thinking. Julius Malema held a press conference yesterday, And at the press conference, he had the temerity to say, thinking we would forget about VBS, that the EFF is the only political party in South Africa that has not received dirty money. Now, what do we make of this? Well, let's listen to Julius before we criticize, and let's see if we can find reason to sympathize with him.
In all of these major corruption scandals that have rocked the country recently, from the Guptas, VBS, Mutuals, Bank and Busasa, I can confidently say the EFF is the only political party that has not received dirty money. The people of South Africa must realize that no one, not even Ramaphosa in the ANC, is above the corruption that has characterized the past 25 years of ANC rule.
Now, Julius also wants us to forget that he was once involved in tenders in Limpopo, which he still has to appear in court for in some cases, and which were never resolved.
Dirty money.
Yeah, he mustn't talk about dirty money. Because
dirty money, you know where it comes from.
He's sitting there
from.
With Floyd Shivambu, who we know is deeply embedded in this VBS problem. He's sitting there with Dali Mpofu, who's also, by the way, been named in some of this Bosasa stuff, even though that hasn't come to light yet.
And he ran off with the big bag from the SABC.
And the SABC, but that wasn't corrupt money. That was the SABC just managing themselves badly. Let's be fair. Now, I don't know whether this means anything to you, but Julius is fairly confident. Do you think that he's just barking loud so that we won't hear what's really going on?
Oh, of course. And I love the use of language. The major corruption scandals recently. So he's kind of hedging his bets, isn't he? He's just like the major ones and the recent ones. You know, forget about the older ones. Like, look at what's happening now. But isn't that politics? Because all that he's simply doing is he's simply redirecting the stuff that's now in our face. And we must just, as you know, South African public, we must be vigilant and we mustn't get like drawn away. With all the smoke and mirrors happening here in front of us, we mustn't take our eye off the ball. These guys are out there
they're trying
messing
to get votes.
Us up. Hey?
Remember, they're all focused on the election. That's all these politicians care about right now.
All politicians ever care about is right. Power.
Well, here's Julius talking about how we should help. It's our responsibility to help Zimbabwe. Now, you tell me what you think of that in a minute, but here he is.
We are Zimbabwe. Zimbabweans are us. Well, one thing, their problems is our problem. Every time when you enjoy food here, you say, look after your neighbors. Hey, make sure your neighbors are all well off. Hey, ha. But here is our neighbor. He's suffering. Who are you to say we must not help our neighbor? If we really care about ourselves as Africans, we're becoming a laughing stock all over the world.
What do you make of that? Do you think it's our responsibility to help Zimbabwe? And by the way, if you want to join in, you can call us on 0861-555-189. I'll put you straight on. What do you think, Pums?
Look, I think that gamut of responsibility, but we also have to help ourselves first. There's a reason why on the plane they tell you to secure the mask over your face first before helping children and old people. And I feel the same way about, any kind of help. What are you?
No, you're right. You're spot on. It's a good analogy. That's all.
We have a problem in our country and our country is crumbling under our feet. And so we have to help ourselves first until we at such a space and time that we are secure and running well.
Are you kidding? We're already helping Zimbabwe. Where do you think most of the people in Zimbabwe are getting their money from? Their relatives who are working in South Africa, who are going up there and giving cash into the economy that has... There's no cash in the Zimbabwean economy.
Oh my God, Gareth, can you imagine when Zimbabwe gets itself intact back together again, the entire like restaurant industry in Joburg is going to collapse.
Empty out.
Nobody.
Yeah.
The entire security, Uber, restaurants, it's all going to collapse under our feet. I don't know what we're going to do.
But this is the kind of an annoying thing that Julius is hinting at here. He says we've got to help other people. And you know, for politicians, the glass is always just a little bit fuller if we just find money from ordinary taxpayers and just give it away. Because he doesn't know what it's like to earn money. Julius doesn't know what it's like to go out there and earn money. None of these politicians do. That's why they don't mind taking it. They don't know how hard it is to make it. They don't go to work every day. They talk. And here in this country, we're supporting, some people say, an expatriate community from Zimbabwe of a couple of million.
And right? it is going to get larger. So one of the things that we are going to see over the next couple of years is a huge influx of Zimbabweans into South Africa. It's going to annoy Herman Mashaba like crazy. I'm getting ready to see his Twitter meltdown. But the truth of the matter is that it is true. Zimbabwe needs help, but so does South Africa. South Africa is not going to be in a position at the moment. I mean, the thing that he refers to there is the loan.
Yeah.
To Zimbabwe,
yes,
that South Africa
turned down.
We don't have the money. We're broke, nigga. We're broke. We would love to help. But yeah, this is the thing. We would love to help. But we are just as broke. You know, like, again, I think the AU needs to step up here. I think the AU needs to step up here, and they need to come to the aid. It's actually the whole of Africa's problem. If any one of us collapses, it's the whole of Africa's problem. Sure, yeah. South Africa feels it first, but hey.
Well, he also had some things to say, because Julius is never short of words when it comes to piling into someone else. And here he is talking about Ramaphosa's involvement in the Bosasa scandal. Now, you know, you could go after anyone in this respect, but he's going after the president, because that's obviously who he's fighting in the election. Let's just go to Claudine quickly, who's on the line. Hey, Claudine, what's up?
Hey, Gareth.
Yeah.
Just want to say I have loved your show for a gazillion years.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And my quick comment on Zim is that, so I'm a doctor and a bit of a humanitarian, and I can't understand inactivity when you look at the suffering that those people have been through, and they've suffered with dignity for years and years and years.
So what are you saying? We should be doing something, or we shouldn't?
We should.
What would you suggest we do?
And that's the tricky part. I mean, obviously, humanitarian help in terms of someone needs to understand what's actually going on there, because even me, I don't understand what's going on there.
Well, part of the problem is that the Zimbabwean government have shut down the internet. They've tried to stop communication in or out of the country, which of course must prove that the government are trying to hide something.
They're up to something.
Yeah, and we've heard horrible stories. I've seen some videos. People have got WhatsApp groups, and they send all these pictures on the internet of horrific violence that's being meted out against ordinary citizens by the police and by the army. And it makes me very, very nervous. Now, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. There's some yearning in all of us to help where we can. But as Pumi says, we don't have money, so we can't send them money. It's dangerous for South Africa to get too involved, because we already have this relationship of codependence with a lot of what's going on in Zimbabwe. And to turn a blind eye, it feels wrong.
We can't send an army.
No,
army is in shambles.
We don't have an army. They'd probably defeat our army if we sent our army in there.
They would.
What do we do, Claudine? You know, it's tough. I hear you, but what do we do?
I hear you. So for me, the problems first need to be defined. So you can't help unless you actually know what help with what.
Ask any of the commissions of inquiry into their elections that we've helped chair for so long. We don't even know what their political situation is. We don't know who's really in charge. Emmerson Mnangagwa was running back and forth trying to sort things out this week because he's been in Europe.
I know, he had to leave Davos. Imagine.
I mean, poor man, you know, to leave the ski resort in the mountains to have to go to fire.
Yeah, I was a bit concerned that he was in Kazakhstan. I was wondering what on earth he was doing there.
You know, sometimes people will take money from wherever they can get it. But thanks for your call. I'm glad you had a contribution to make here. Thank you.
Pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Can we go back to Julius for a second? Here he is tearing into Cyril.
Dip in it. Let Bitvest also be subjected to the SASA process. You'll be shocked. Let Bitvest be subjected to the State of Capture Commission as well. Ramaphosa says in Parliament, unprovoked, no one asked him that question. He says, my son has got a contract with Busasa. I've went through the contract. I've satisfied myself. He did this consultancy and all. No problem. Later on, Ramaphosa comes and says, I was talking about the wrong contract. That one is something else. This is what I was referring to. Remember the contract he spoke about. Both the son and Busasa denied. They said there's no such a contract. Meaning the president lied in parliament. Now Ramaphosa says, leave that one. I was not talking about that. I was talking about the donation in the foundation. Busasa comes and says, which donation? We don't know what you're talking. Even the new explanation is a lie. President said he will pay back the money, 500,000 from Busasa. Ferrer, through close proximity, ask for proof of payment or deposit slip.
I think that's a good point that he raises. If nothing else, all of this money that's going backwards and forwards, you would think with FICA and all these laws that we've put into place, you have a paper trail. Well, clearly not. You can have brown envelopes full of cash. People are able to draw from ATMs or take from somewhere and put somewhere else. It doesn't seem that any of these laws, which all of us are subject to, by the way, you got an ATM and try and withdraw more than a couple of thousand rand, they red flag that.
Ah, but now you understand why there is so much talk about controlling the
bank, the reserve bank. Because then we can get cash in and
every
out.
Transaction that is over, I think something like 25,000 rand or something is monitored by the Reserve Bank. So the conspiracies are bound. But I also think that one of the, Kanekho, your favorite person, Gareth.
Kanekho's phoning in the middle of the burning platform. All right, well, this gives us a pause to speak to Karen Morn, who we love having on. Karen, it's always nice to speak to you. I know you've got a busy day ahead. Tell me what's going on with Duduzane Zuma.
Well, essentially, he's going to have the corruption case against him withdrawn this morning in the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court. Of course, this relates to the allegations made by Mkabisi Jonas in both the state capture inquiry and the state capture report produced by Thuli Madonsela, that essentially Duduzane and arms deals advisor Fanele Hlongwane were present and were involved in an attempt by a Gupta brother to bribe him with 600 million rand to become the finance minister and to do the family's bidding. The NPA, the day before yesterday, writing to his lawyers and saying they were going to withdraw those charges because Mkabisi Jonas had not finished giving evidence before the state corruption inquiry, which, of course, raises a whole lot of other questions that I think the NPA are going to grapple with in terms of how they're going to go and conduct future criminal cases linked to the state capture inquiry. He will also be in court this morning for the culpable homicide case against him related to a totally separate court, Randburg Magistrates Court, related to the car accident deaths that he was involved in when his Porsche crashed into a minibus taxi in February 2014.
So how is he going to get from one court to the other? And how convenient is it for him that both of his court appearances are in one day? I mean, this is the kind of synchronicity that you only hear about in movies. And finally, does this question of the charges being dropped in the ABC Jonas situation, does that mean that he's off scot-free on that slate?
Well, it's a provisional withdrawal, Gareth. So, I mean, the NPA can reinstate those charges at any time. But we have seen an unfortunate pathology, and it's also recurred in the Estina matter. Of course, the Gupta family members and associates accused there of involvement in the Estina scam, which, of course, took money intended for poor black farmers on the version of the state and put it in the hands of private individuals. They withdrew those charges last year. We haven't seen any movement on that case. We also saw those charges, we've seen a recurrence of charges being withdrawn and then not subsequently reinstated. It's possible that the case could be reinstated, but I think there are potentially doubts about that. Duduzane has been in Dubai, as I understand it, so the man's very busy. So clearly his lawyers make arrangements for his various court dates to be sorted out at the same time.
To be expedited.
So he basically, just
by the way, what likelihood is there for an ordinary citizen like you or me or anyone else who ends up in a legal problem? What is the likelihood of us getting our court dates conveniently arranged around our travel schedule?
You know, Gareth, when you have a lot of money and you have lawyers that will happily negotiate these things for you, yeah. It's possible. But for the likes of us, you're trawling around with like legal aid situations, I very much doubt it.
All right. So back to my first question then, or rather my last of the three questions I asked you now, but the question that's plaguing me the most. In other words, because of the incompetence of our NPA as it currently is constituted and the incapable stance that the court has chosen to take with respect to what still has to be delivered at the State Capture Commission, however unrelated or related these might be, Duduzane basically is appearing this morning so that he can be told, you can go your merry way, at least in one of these matters.
Totally. And the corruption case is the big one. Remember, if you're convicted of corruption, you potentially face 15 years behind bars. The culpable homicide case, I think his lawyers have expressed a lot of confidence that he will be acquitted on those charges, and it's really in relation to reckless driving. So the big one was the corruption matter. He will now walk away essentially a free man.
Do you expect a bunch of female DA supporters to be enthusiastically chanting for Duduzane this time outside the court like they did last time, much to the party's embarrassment?
Oh, definitely. I mean, every time he's in court, there are a vast array of very supportive female fans, even if they are, in fact, placed in DA shirts to come and sort of speak up against him. Last time was hilarious because it was even the BLF supporters looked completely taken by surprise by the stance of the DA, who in many respects were actually more enthusiastic than the BLF. So, you know,
well,
every day
if you're a potential,
is a surprise in Mzansi.
Yeah, if you're a potential blessee, you'll take whatever you can get, right? And especially from the son of a former president.
It was amazing because the one woman, it was really, really extraordinary because I actually thought this lady is actually going to faint. And she was like, he is here. And then, wow. Of course, he was, you know, they wanted selfies with him and he was happily obliging.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, of course, you know that for the last few times, the former president has attended court with his son and come and sat in the front row of the court with his son.
This is like the Oscars.
He's come in with a massive... No, I mean, it's amazing. That's why I'm telling you, Gareth. Courts are the way to go. If you're a journalist and you want entertainment in your life, I'm telling you, be a court reporter.
Yeah, I wish I could be I wish I could be as entertained by this as you are, but it really bothers me that a guy who's had his knees deep in the mud of state capture, and we know how he was a primary agent in the whole mechanism which brought the Guptas into state contracts and denuded South Africa of billions, perhaps even trillions of rands. We know that this guy's going to get away with it. It drives me absolutely crazy. And it's not because of him proffering his case badly. It's about our NPA not being able to do their job properly.
Well, the bigger question is, and I really, really hope the NPA addresses it, President Cyril Ramaphosa came out and said, in no uncertain terms, this inquiry cannot be a replacement for criminal processes. It cannot stop law enforcement bodies from doing their jobs. When Duduzane Zuma was arrested in July last year, I think it was a month before the state capture inquiry started, they knew the lay of the land, they knew Mkabisi Jonas was testifying, and they arrested him nonetheless. Now, months later, we see them using this inquiry as a basis to withdraw the case against him. On the version of multiple law enforcement people that I've spoken to, for instance, the Bosasa docket is allegedly very close to, the NPA has actually said, we have the finalized docket in Bosasa from the 14th of January. We will be making a decision about those cases. Now, if their stance on Duduzane is, we can't go after this guy because he or, you know, Mkabisi Jonas or someone related to the case is testifying, what happens then with Bosasa? Agrizi is going to be on that stand for quite some time. And we know that, like, he implicates you know, anywhere from 30 to 80 people on any given day. So if that's your stance, what are you going to, are you going to not move on a case that clearly has massive public interest in being resolved? So I think the NPA really needs to vocalize exactly what their problem is here. And I suspect that they may have had deficits or issues with proper evidence gathering in this matter. And they're using the state capture's inquiry as an excuse. But whatever the reason, they have now put the state capture inquiry as a barrier to justice, not as a mechanism that assisted. And I think the inquiry may very well be quite upset about that.
Well, thank you, Karen. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you. Please keep us informed, and we would love to hear from you about what kinds of shenanigans went on outside the court as well as in during this this obvious celebrity appearance by the young, good-looking Dudu Zane Zuma.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Karen Morn, reporting live this morning from the Dudu Zane Zuma court appearances, both of them, conveniently on one day.
So I wonder if what we're going to see next is we're going to see, what's his name, the old advocate and his AfriForum's private prosecutions.
Yeah, well,
wing,
you see, if
swoop
the
into...
If the NPA decide not to prosecute, and as Karen said, these charges have been provisionally dropped, if they decide not to pick them up again, then there can be a private prosecution from Gerry Nel.
Oh, Gerry Nel.
And we'll see. And if Gerry Nel and AfriForum have to be the ones to bring someone who is embedded in state capture to justice, so be it. As long as it's done.
Do you think that this private prosecutions stunt of theirs is going to get them some support?
I think
in
it
the
absolutely.
Elections?
Well, remember, they're not running for votes.
But I mean, whoever they throw their weight behind.
Oh, certainly. And I think that they will get more donations. I think ordinary people in this country will throw money at an organization that seems to be achieving what the NPA can't.
It'll be fascinating to watch. I mean, that private prosecutions and what AfriForum are doing there is going to be a very fascinating thing to watch and how it polarizes further.
Well, I don't know if it'll polarize. I mean, surely we want justice to be done. We don't care who does it. And surely we want lies to be uncovered no matter who's doing the uncovering.
Except for the fact that how they choose the cases that they prosecute.
Well, don't we want Dudu Zane Zuma to face the music? The guy's living large in Dubai. He does whatever he pleases. He seems to have no regard for the fact that he has been an agent in helping millions and billions and even trillions of rands leaving this country through the Gupta's various dodgy deals with state enterprises. Don't we want them brought to justice? Are we prepared to turn a blind eye to that because we don't like AfriForum?
Dude, I really don't like AfriForum. And you see, because I don't like
but
AfriForum...
Would you like to give Dudu Zane Zuma a free pass if it means AfriForum don't get the satisfaction of being the ones who brought him to justice?
So if AfriForum, and I think that anybody who brings any case to the state that is prosecutable and with enough evidence, then I'm very happy for them. But it will not change the way that I feel about their politics. It will not change the way that I feel about their motivations. So if they have a prosecutable case, great.
Wouldn't you
like anybody?
Okay, but what I'm asking, I'm asking you here, which will give you most satisfaction, to see someone who has clearly brought South Africa to its knees in terms of the corruption around the Guptas. I mean, this is the family at the center of so much of what's wrong with what we have to deal with now. Or an organization that you don't like because of their motives and you question them because of their politics, being the ones to do it. I mean, is there an either or here?
No. So there is no either or. I think that the way that justice works is it works in the favor of who has the money to prosecute a particular thing or what.
No, and prosecution of a criminal matter is the state. It's got nothing to do with money.
So if what they bring to the table is they bring to, because they've got the money to put their case stronger. That's why justice doesn't work for poor people, you know. So if you don't have the good lawyers.
But this,
Hold on. So if what AfriForum are doing is pursuing a particular individual and they have prosecutable evidence that they have brought to whoever that individual is, good for them.
Right.
What it will not change for me is it will not change the way that I see or view AfriForum, because I do believe that they are very questionable and very dubious. And it will be fascinating for me. And the thing that would change my view about AfriForum is if they are truly serious about private prosecutions and the fact that they want to augment what the state is failing to do, if they are doing it without favor, then I may begin to rethink what AfriForum. But the way that AfriForum have been throwing their weight around.
Well, on there's the been various... one case, as I understand it, and that was the situation against Grace Mugabe.
Yes, but also, you know, where they, which where was they a, stand up.
A small, unknown woman of color against the former First Lady of Zimbabwe. I mean, I don't know that you could say that that's necessarily motivated by good or bad. It certainly seems to me, if that's the only case they've brought so far, you would have to tell a very long and complicated story to make it look like they were being political about that.
No, but this is my point, is there are so many cases. There are so many cases that they, and having sat in a round table that Kheri hosted, there are so many cases that do get brought to them, and they choose to ignore those cases for the ones that they...
But they are not there to become the National Prosecuting Authority. You
I
should be able to...
I mean,
if you've got 100,000 in the bank and you can only spend 10 on each case, you have 10 cases to choose. You've got to be picky about those. Mm. And they are an organization that has to represent the interests of their members who are donating the money to them. So they're going to do that based on what their members want them to prosecute. That's how private business works.
And that for me, right, is whichever case they choose to prosecute, and if they can prosecute it and get it to a conviction, and it's, you know, something that is actually something justifiable. So if, for
imagine
instance,
if we could get the money
together,
back from Duduzan.
I keep saying this, right, that I would love to see money come back, not just from a Duduzane, but I'd love to see money come back from a McKinsey. I would love to see someone hold
Bain.
I would love to see someone hold Bain account.
These are not equivalent things.
They are not equivalent, but they are just... So it is easier to hold a McKinsey accountable, right? It is easier to hold a McKinsey accountable. And yet we are not doing that. Nobody is doing that. But to go after a Duduzane because he is one single individual, and he is, and the thing for me is you have made him a bogeyman. You have made him a bogeyman. And this is the problem with where we are right now, is when we made Jacob Zuma the bogeyman, we thought that when Jacob Zuma is gone, all our problems would disappear. But hey, look where we are today. And that's the problem with creating a bogeyman out of an individual.
I've never thought that just removing Jacob Zuma or just going after Duduzane will solve all of our problems.
But that
that's
is
ridiculous.
You.
A lot of people thought
that with Jacob Zuma being gone, right? Similar in Zimbabwe, with Mugabe gone, you know?
Because,
and this is what happens when you create a bogeyman out of an individual.
But we're increasing the limits of this discussion now to the most ridiculous degrees. So let's just talk about Duduzane Zuma. He's going to court today to basically be let off the hook on the fraud charges because our NPA are so useless at their jobs, right? So if someone like AfriForum, whoever... I don't care if it's the BLF come in. Honestly, if someone like that has to come in from wherever they are, whatever their politics are, and successfully bring to justice someone who our system has failed to bring to justice, who we know has dealings deep in the state capture.
And there we are in violent agreement.
Well, that's perfect. So I don't care where the money comes from. I don't care who institutes the prosecution. If on the basis of evidence, beyond a reasonable doubt, this man can be convicted of fraud and corruption. He should, and all of these people mentioned in Bosasa 2 should go to jail. Meanwhile, the president is in Davos. Do you want to hear what he had to say? Not really.
No.
Just listen to it and let's see if we can glean anything useful from it. Because there's a lot of talk going on there, and I don't believe any of it's doing us any good. Listen to this.
Last year, on the investment side, we launched an ambitious drive to raise $100 billion over the next 5 years. We held an investment conference last year, and we were able to mobilize from both local and international business $20 billion of investment in new projects, as well as to increase the capacity of the existing company programs or projects. Now, according to a recent report, which I've had sight of UNTEG, which was released on Monday, direct foreign investment into South Africa has increased by more than 440%.
Do you believe it?
Did he say UNTEG?
Yeah, weren't they the people who helped in Namibia when Savimbi took over? I mean,
wasn't that like a Leon Schuster movie?
Anyway, look, Cyril grasping to look like he knows what he's doing.
Here's what I don't believe.
And grasping to show international investors that there are good reasons. And notice he didn't mention state capture inquiries or Busasa or any of the stuff that's currently in the news. That, by the way, Cyril, anyone at the World Economic Forum can pick up a newspaper and read. And if they're attending your discussion on that very bad microphone, which you would think the World Economic Forum could at least have good sound, they're probably sitting in the audience fully appraised of these facts already. Give them a good reason to invest. Oh, hang on, you can't.
And what's disingenuous about that, I mean, I think the investment conference that he did have was the biggest hoax of them all, because all of those companies simply went there and announced all of this investment that they're putting into the country, whereas actually all they did was reappropriate projects that they already had in their own plans as an organization and repackage it and sell it to everybody as some kind of investment.
Well,
that's not what they were doing at all.
Snake oil salesman.
It's, you know, it's quite
now there's
irritating.
There's something the ANC could do to attract investment. They could show that they don't tolerate corruption in their own ranks. Well, not if Ace Magashule is the guy that you're asking to talk about these things.
Or Zizi Kodwa,
because the ANC says it will not act against Nomvula Mokonyane. Act. Just investigate. They won't even do that. They're not prepared to turn on one of their own, despite the fact that in front of all of our eyes and ears, Nomvula Mokonyane is accused of very specific things, taking very specific amounts of money and groceries and meat and bizarre things that, you know.
Lamb and chicken.
I mean,
frozen,
can you imagine?
Chicken.
Can you imagine being able to bribe someone with frozen chicken?
The most galling thing about that whole thing is like, what?
It's so servile that you would imagine that you could bribe someone with this. But let's just hear what Ace says. Maybe he's got some way of convincing us.
Remember, the commission is not a court of law, because in a court of law, you are then afforded an opportunity to present yourself. Because in a commission, the commission and lawyers will tell you that there is a difference between a court of law and a commission. And that's why we need to tread very carefully.
I mean, let's just imagine for a second that you, Pumi, were accused of something. And you belong to an organization. And they were not sure whether or not you were actually guilty of this thing, but they would either suspend you or they would say to you, hey, let's talk about this, Pumi. I mean, look at what people have a lot to say about what's going on in Hollywood with the Me Too movement and all the rest of it. But none of that's gone to court yet. And yes, yet people have been suspended. People have been fired. People have been removed from office. And that's an issue which is far more serious about sexual molestation and rape and all kinds of things. So in this case, you think you'd be able to at least say to Nomvula, look, while this is going on, Nomvula, step aside. You can't be a minister. But no. Ace says, no. This is just a commission. Don't worry about it.
But it's also the forked tongue with which they speak. You know, so some people get suspended or asked to leave mm-hmm. or set aside. Mm-hmm. But some people are more equal than others.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are allowed to continue along their wily ways.
Sean, what do you want to say?
Guys, yeah, I want to blow off a bit of steam with this $20 billion investment that our president spoke about. Now, there's a fundamental problem with that because, you know, he's not able to tell us where this money went, this $20 billion that they got. And I've got a suspicion that, I mean, this is going, that $20 billion obviously is just to be to maintain things the way they are and throw money at Eskom, which is an absolute bugger up anyway. You know, and for me, I work for a multinational company. You don't make money just to maintain. You make money to make profit. Now, if investors put money into, you know, into South Africa, surely it's to develop and to grow and to get better, not to maintain and stuff money into holes where, you know, it's an endless pit.
Not even to maintain, Sean, to cover debt, which the company has got into. And in this case, Eskom, so much debt.
So, Sean, just to assist you with that, you know, they didn't actually get this 20 billion. That's what I'm saying. So all those companies that came to that investment conference came out and they announced all sorts of projects and programs that they have going on, and they reappropriated that to make it sound like they're investing. Mm-hmm. So they stood up. So Anglo stood up to say, you know, we've got new refineries that look like this. So you're right. They're not doing it to maintain anything. It's not real money that came out. It's actually stuff that they'd had on their plans for years. I mean, Bidvest went out there and they spoke about what they're doing in Richards Bay. All of those projects are projects that they have, that the companies have always had in their plans for the past 5 years at least. And simply they repackaged it to say, this is the kind of investment that we are putting into this country. It was never money that they put out and put somewhere to say,
wow,
this is what's going on.
How do you like that, Sean?
You know, I hear you guys. You know, there's an old saying, and you pull it back to your household, you never make debt to pay debt. That's the worst financial decision you can make. And I feel that, you know, that's the course we're on. We're making debt to pay debt and to subsidize whatever. And for me, it's a long term. But I'm gonna shut up about that now. I just quickly want to talk about Ultimatum. It was in Russia, and I don't know, I'm sure you guys are aware of the 7 different treaties that he signed with Putin, or Putin, or whatever. One of them being, there's 2 investments, I think one is for $70 million, and the other one for $192 million. But what he's also done is, he signed over mineral and mining rights to Russia. So he's basically between, you know, with those 7 treaties, he has signed over Zimbabwe to Russia.
So essentially, he's happy to make Zimbabwe a vassal state of Russia for immediate financial relief.
He's basically sold Zimbabwe for $260 million.
Right. Well, thank you, Sean. That's a good point to make. We haven't even spoken about Zimbabwe this morning,
guys. I'd just like to point out that what did you say, the 90,000th day of January?
Yeah.
We're not even out of January, guys. This 2019 is already dragging us all.
Well, I often dip into Twitter just to laugh. I seldom dip into Twitter because I'm in a happy space, but there's a story that I think will start to gather momentum over the next couple of weeks. Helen Ziller tweeting ferociously. Oh, she's never stopped.
God,
But listen, she says, the ANC government has an Achilles heel. Honest taxpayers will not continue forking out billions to corruption. If this continues, I'm going to be the first to mobilize a tax strike to bring this government to its senses. Anyone who gives them another chance is an accomplice. What do you think?
Oh, God, Helen.
What do you think?
Gareth.
If it didn't come from Helen, appraise it on that basis, because I don't like ad hominem politics. So imagine this was said by anyone else.
By you.
Anyone else. People you like or people you don't like. Just imagine this is something said. I could get behind this. I don't believe that it's moral in a country where the government has shown itself to be a den of thieves and iniquity. I don't think it is moral to hand over money to that government.
All governments and all politicians care about politics and power. And my stance is clear, guys. I think that just withholding your tax is not the solution. What you should be doing is you should be participating. You should be. So, like,
this is
participatory.
I would like to withhold my tax. I think that would be a far more effective way of punishing this government.
Except for the fact that what it does is it simply criminalizes you. It criminalizes you. So what it does is it actually takes away even more power. What you think it is you're taking, because the government gets tax out of companies and out of individuals. In South Africa, they get more tax out of the individuals than they do out of the companies.
They can't lock
us all
up.
But they make the companies. They make the companies, the people who collect, why they have such an effective tax collection system is because they make the companies collect tax on their behalf, right? It's the one thing that they do very well.
So
because
what if the companies,
not
what if the companies refuse to?
But the point is it criminalizes all of us. Right.
So if we're all,
and what we should be
already,
doing.
We're already led by criminals. So why don't we all just join the party?
What we should be doing is we should be using our best selves. We should be using our skills. We should be using our brains and participating. That's so see as good news story. What we love about that story is that the community stood up, is that the community came together, and that's what we should be doing. So more and more of us should actually be participating with our skills, with our brains, instead of allowing the government to be, because who is this government, guys? Who are these individuals? Because they are the Nomvulas, they have stood up, they have put their hands out there, they are standing there with their Tumamina, right? Mm-hmm. And the rest of us refuse to be the Tumamina Brigade. The rest of us refuse to use our skills for the greater good of
our
nation.
Do you know what? My momentary skill at the moment is hopefully to run this business and to try and make a profit.
There's an even bigger skill that you have though, Gareth. And the bigger skill that you have is that you have a microphone and you have a platform and you are able to inform and educate.
So we're doing.
And bring people. Exactly. So you use that skill for the greater good.
But
and I'm saying, if you're an accountant.
I'm not the one who's in fault here. I don't see why I have to work extra hard to correct the mistakes. I'm already, and you're already, and everyone else who's a taxpayer in this country are already supporting almost 20 people that we didn't make, that are not our responsibility. If we stop paying tax, those people are also going to get pissed off. You want to mobilize people? Take away the money. Stop the flow of money into this illicit, evil,
and then what?
Deceitful system, which is helping politicians to rob the place blind. Stop putting money in. If we all go on tax strike, they can't lock us all up.
And then descend into chaos.
Well, aren't we already there?
With no plan.
Are we with our president lying about investment in Davos? Is that any kind of solution? Tell me how this is better.
No, but this is my point. My point is, if you are an accountant, if you are a mathematician, if you are a sociologist, all of those skills are the skills that we require to make our country run. All of us withholding our skill, not participating and not being part of the pool of people that run these institutions. So the minister is one person that runs a particular organization, but there are administrators, there are workers, there are all of those individuals require good skills. And if we withhold those skills, if we withhold those skills and don't participate in that manner, then we are complicit. Whether we withhold our tax or not, the problem with withholding our tax in this manner is the chaos that we are currently in is a chaos that still has traffic lights that work in certain places. It still has roads.
Given the option,
descending into
anarchy.
Absolute anarchy without a plan.
I aver that 93%, according to the municipal surveys that were done last year, 93% of our municipalities are already bankrupt and insolvent. I would say that 97% of the administrations in this country, therefore, are already anarchies. I don't see how it could get much worse. And communities will, as you've already pointed out by highlighting Sia's story about Betty's Bay and people standing behind the guy who found the culprit in those fires and that they've rallied behind him. Communities will find ways of tarring their own roads, fixing their own lights, making sure that they have generators. They'll come to their own resources and they don't need governments. I'm going to err on the side of no government rather than err on the side of a corrupt government. Is that so bad? I mean, I'm an idealist just like you.
We have to do the hard work. We have to do the hard work.
And increasingly make ourselves less dependent on government, not more.
And you know, maybe it is about reimagining. I think the world over, we're seeing many collapses of all sorts of what is the current status quo of how governments work. And maybe it is about reimagining. South Africa, once before, South Africa was such an inspiration to the world, not just with our constitution, but with what we were able to do in reimagining how we can move out of our dark past. And maybe it's time once again for, you know, all South Africans to reimagine a way of moving forward, and we could be the shining light for the world.
Well, at this point, if we can just keep the lights on, I'll be thrilled, let alone become a shining light. And that's all laid at the feet of Eskom, which we know is probably the best example of the worst managed organization in human history, considering all the advantages that they had in, oh my God.
I mean, think of some others.
Oh, really? Run worse than Eskom? I would say you would be hard-pressed to find an example of something that's been run as badly by such craven levels of incompetence anywhere in human history.
Gareth, is craven a real word that doesn't come out of Game of Thrones?
Mm. It's a real word.
What does it mean?
It means you're subservient. You're incapable of making your own decision. You're a sycophant. You're hunched over begging. It's a real word, and it fits for Eskom like a glove.
C-R-A.
If the dove glove does fit, you must acquit. Does not fit, you must acquit. I don't know. Thank you, Pumi. That's the end of the Burning Platform and all from us this morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.